Very few of us will ever know what it's like to become a runaway or a fugitive. But in another sense, all of us know what it's like to struggle with personal oppression. We can readily identify with the craving to escape our problems. In fact, it's possible you're going through a season right now where either as a rebel or a victim, you long to walk right out the door and find a safe harbor of protection. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll tell a stirring story of recovery and forgiveness. He's titled his talk, Reinstatement of a Runaway.
Now, a chain of events has led Paul to Rome. He has announced his Roman citizenship, and because of this, those who were his enemies have begun to run scared. A citizen of Rome was a very well-respected person, especially one like Paul. And so they decided to bring him to Rome that he might have an audience, ultimately, with the emperor. Go back to Acts 28, and let's look first at verse 16. 28:16, and when we entered Rome, Luke is writing, and he's with Paul because of the word we. When we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. Now turn the page and look at verse 30. And he stayed, that's Paul, he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. Now that's a great way to be imprisoned, isn't it? So when you read that he was a prisoner in Rome, don't think of his being in a dungeon. He lived in his own rented quarters. Verse 16 says that there was a soldier attached to him, but he had the freedom of entertaining individuals and giving out in an unhindered fashion the gospel. That allowed him, you see, to witness to those who came. That's how Onesimus came to know Christ. Now back to Philemon. Paul is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He doesn't even view himself as a prisoner of Rome. In his eyes, Christ had it all planned, and he was living out the joy of, even in this house arrest, the joy of Christ's plan for him. What a way to look at what we might call a difficult situation. It was, by the way, while Paul was there at Rome that he wrote 4 letters. All of them are still in the New Testament. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and then this little letter, the letter to Philemon. These are called the prison epistles. Now, Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Christ and I'm writing to you, Philemon. And then he says in verse 2, also to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Probably it was much like what we think of as the underground church today. In those days, the church could not meet openly and therefore did not. So they met in homes, those in the church. And Philemon apparently had a church in his home. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace always precedes peace. We hear so much in these days about peace. Peace at all costs, peace at any cost, peace, peace. Pray for peace marked on our stamps, on our letters. But there can never be peace until there is first grace in the life. And so the apostle says, I bring to you the grace of the Lord Jesus, and with that comes peace. And then the body of the letter. First of all, there is what we would call the commendation, and then there is the intercession, and then the obligation. In each of these 3 sections, there is a different person or character that is emphasized. In the first section, verses 4-7, the key character is Philemon himself. In the next section, the key character is Onesimus the slave. And the 3rd section, it is Paul. So as you read through that, keep that in mind. You're going to be reading mainly about each one of these three persons as you go through the body of the letter. Also, there are key phrases. In verse 4, there is the key phrase to section 1. I thank my God. And all the way through verses 4 to 7, Paul is giving thanks for Philemon. The key phrase in verses 8 through 17, is the word that appears in verse 10, I appeal to you. And we'll explain that in a moment. Finally, the key phrase is, I will repay. Now look at verse 4 with me. He's writing now to Philemon. He hasn't even mentioned Onesimus. He doesn't dare. That's a tender subject with Philemon. And so Paul begins with a word of encouragement. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. We're going to see that Paul mentions four things about his relationship to Philemon. Notice them right now. Verse 4, I pray for you. Verse 5, I hear of your love and faith. You see it? Because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus. I pray for you. I hear of your love and faith. Verse 7, I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love. So I have joy when I bring you to my remembrance. And then the last part of verse 7 says that these saints have been refreshed through you, brother. You are a source of refreshment. I pray for you. I hear of your love. I have much joy and comfort. I'm refreshed with just the memory of your life. Now, we mentioned this morning in this message that we brought on encouragement and availability, the importance of encouragement. Here is a case in point where Paul practices what he preaches. Paul is encouraging Philemon. Don't ever think that the older you get in the Lord and the more mature you become, the less you need to commend other people. The greatest people on earth are those that are unselfish enough to express thanks and encouragement to individuals. The least mature are those who think mainly of themselves and are so self-conscious that they cannot really see the lives of others and the benefit of those lives. Now, Paul was saying that Philemon was a source of refreshment to him. Once again, I ask you today, I ask you this morning, and now I ask you tonight, are you a source of refreshment? When someone brings your name to their mind, would they think, "Why, that person refreshes me. I'm stimulated when I think of that life." We have that obligation as Christians to sustain that kind of relationship. Hold your place here, and I promised you this morning we'd look at Proverbs 12:25. So let's do that right now. Solomon writes a wonderful proverb in chapter 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. That's true. We who wrestle with the struggles of life, and it seems as though one week gets worse than the previous one after another, the pressure mounts. Anxiety weighs us down. What lifts us up? A good word. Isn't it interesting that we have developed a sort of a series of bywords when we meet people? Well, what's the good word, we sometimes say? Well, let's become the good word. Let's bring the good word. When you meet individuals, especially those in the body of Christ, think of this. How can I be a source of encouragement? Don't start probing for areas of weakness, petty things, because you'll find so many of those, you'll be overwhelmed. You won't think of something encouraging. Think first. How could I be an encouragement to this individual? What could I do, what could I say that would make his day lighter, that would keep from weighing him down further than he already is? A good word makes the same heart that's weighed down glad. Now that's what Paul does in Philemon, verses 4 through 7. He commends him. Now let's look at the next section. Here we have intercession for this slave. And the main character changes from Philemon to the slave, from the owner, the master, to the runaway. Therefore, since all of these things are true, since I pray for you and I'm refreshed by the memory of your life, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do that which is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. Now that's the main phrase in this second section. I appeal to you. He says first, I have the right to command this of you. Why did he have that right? Well, he was an apostle. Along with this, he had led Philemon to Christ. If you read the letter carefully, you will discover that he was the one that introduced this slave owner to the Savior. And so he says, I'm your spiritual father, and I am an apostle, and I could order you to do that which is right. But I'm not going to pull my rank. As a matter of fact, I'm going to appeal to you on the basis of love. Now, of course, love is the only appeal for forgiveness. And if you try to work up the forgiving spirit without agape New Testament love, you'll not have it. You won't be able to forgive. So Paul says, the only appeal I have is for love's sake, verse 9. Now verse 10, here is the first mention of that name that Philemon more than likely has on his black list. I appeal to you for my child, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, Onesimus. Isn't it interesting? For 9 verses, he's never mentioned the name. And then in verse 10, he just sort of drops it in. It's like your children. When they want to do something and it's a little questionable, you know, they'll spend 15 minutes making friends with you. And they will talk about how great it is to have a parent like you. And they've not really realized what a benefit and blessing it is to live in a wonderful home. And the parent thinks, what in the world are they trying to get around to? And then in a little while, if you wait long enough, they'll just drop it in, you know. There's what I'm really trying to say. That's what Paul does. That's smart. As a matter of fact, in this case, it's inspired of God. Now, I'm not saying every time you use it, it's inspired of God. But in this case, it is. Paul says, now, Philemon, you mean more to me than you'll ever know. I could force you to do this, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to appeal to you on the basis of love concerning Onesimus, that slave, that one that you're looking for. You're heating up the brand for him, Philemon. Don't do that. I appeal that you reinstate him. Let's quickly take the time to sort of get the order of events, and they're all right here in the letter concerning Onesimus. Okay, you ready? Verse 11 tells us that when he was first in the home of Philemon, he was useless. Who formerly was useless to you. When Philemon first had Onesimus in his home, he was a useless slave. You own your own business? You have a person that's like that working for you? Just useless. And you just haven't figured out a way that you can let him go yet. It's just no good, it seems. Just more problem than he's worth. And that's the way that this man Onesimus was. Useless. Look at verse 15 and you'll see the next thing that the passage tells us about him. Perhaps he was for this reason parted from you for a while. So first of all, he was useless. And second, he left Philemon. He ran away from him. While we're right there, look at verse 18. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. So the third thing we would say is that Onesimus not only was useless, not only did he run away or part from this master, but he took what was not his. In the New Testament, there are various ways to convey this word if. And the way it's written in verse 18 suggests that it is true. There's not an option, as in our English, if, maybe so and maybe not. This is written in the original text, assuming that it's true. Since he has wronged you and taken from you, put it on my account, Paul says. So this slave had left. Now back at verse 10 that we just read a moment ago, the fourth thing we notice about the slave is that he was led to Christ while he was with Paul. This man I have begotten in my imprisonment, verse 10 says. So this is telling us that Paul led him to Christ while he was imprisoned in Rome, or at least under arrest. One more thing I want you to notice is the verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me, that in your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. Now that's quite a change. There was a useless slave living in the home of Philemon. He left Philemon, stole from him. Paul led him to Christ, and now Paul says, well, he's useful to me. I wish I could keep him. He's experienced a transformation, a changed life. But Paul was led of the Lord to send him back to his master. Now, I see some application here that I want to point out before we go any further. In fact, there are a couple of points I would like to make clear. Some of you tonight may feel terribly unworthy, especially those of you who have never been introduced to the person of Christ. It's a very common thing for sin to result in such an overwhelming sense of guilt and worthlessness that we feel we will never be of any use to anyone. That's the way Onesimus was. But when Christ came into his life, he became useful. In fact, he became an assistant, a helper for Paul. And so I submit to you tonight who are struggling with this problem of feeling worthless, that you consider the claims of Christ that he can transform your life. No one is ever too far gone. The world tells you that you are, but God never does. As long as there is breath in your lungs, you have the potential of being worthy and useful. Of course, there's a second application that's directed to those of us who may have friends or even children who've run away. Run away perhaps physically from your presence or run away from the Lord, and they are right now wandering, as Onesimus was for an undetermined period of time in the streets of Rome. You know something? Even though he ran away, God never left him. The Lord stayed at work in the life of this man Onesimus, didn't he? Can you imagine in the huge city of Rome, his coming across a fellow named Paul? That wasn't luck. That wasn't even coincidental. That was directed by God. Why, that's like one of our closest friends running away and landing in the middle of New York City. Millions and millions of people. And coming across one balanced, mature, godly individual leads him to Christ and changes him all over. Well, there wasn't a chance in millions, but it happened. It happened to me when I was in the military on that little speck of a piece of land called Okinawa. I'll tell you, a lot of the Marines that came over there to do their military duty came for the main purpose of sowing their oats. And oats are sown in abundance in these South Sea Islands. And I think of one fellow who became one of my closest friends. Never will forget him. He's from Shoshone, Idaho. How can you ever forget that anyway? He probably weighed 101 pounds, dripping wet. Little tiny fella. He came to Okinawa for one purpose, and I've already stated it, to have a ball. And I'll tell you, he went to the depths in his experience in sin. And one cold, I think it was New Year's Eve night, he came stumbling in about half drunk in that little Quonset hut where we were then stationed. And he slumped down on my bunk. I never will forget it, the look in his face. He had spent all weekend in sin. And had come to the startling realization that he had quite probably contracted a disease that would certainly take its toll on him. And he looked at me and tears poured out of his eyes. And he said, "What in the world is wrong? Man, I've come here to have fun. I'm not having any fun." And he began to tell me the story. And after a number of cups of black coffee, so that he could be absolutely sure of what he was hearing and then accepting, it was my privilege out under the moonlit sky on a distant island, Okinawa, to lead him to Christ. He had no idea. Furthermore, neither did his parents, who prayed daily, I found out later, for their son. Neither did his parents have any idea that in a distant place like that, the man's life would be transformed. And it was transformed. It was incredible, the change that took place in his life. Onesimus had that experience. Philemon, reading this letter from Paul, comes across the name Onesimus, and he's come to know Christ. And he's living with my close friend Paul. And Paul says now, in verse 17, look at that. "If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. If he has wronged you in any way, and indeed he has, or if he owes you anything, and indeed he does, charge it to my account." He changes the I owe you to I owe me. "Send me the bill. Whatever it is, I'll make sure that it's made good."
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled Reinstatement of a Runaway. And you can access the complete series, Character Counts, all 12 sermons, by going online to insightworld.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, give us a call at 1-800-772-8888. It's possible you're listening today with lots of questions about God's control over the events of your life and whether or not He truly cares. Well, Chuck delivered a helpful sermon called Timely Reminders of God's Sovereignty. And if you've never contacted Insight for Living, we'd like to send you a free copy. We're confident this sermon will give you a deeper understanding of God's love, care, and compassion for you. Just request the free CD called Timely Reminders of God's Sovereignty. I'll be giving our contact information in just a moment, so be prepared to jot it down. First, though, I'm holding in my hands a brand new resource we'd love to send your way as well. It's printed in the popular Insight for Living Passport format. Chuck?
If you've ever traveled for extended periods of time, you know what it feels like to be homesick. Your heart just aches to be back where you belong. Remember that? You find yourself daydreaming about the familiar places where love and comfort and acceptance abound. Well, those of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ know that heaven, not this old earth, is our final home. Here we're aliens and strangers on this earth, foreigners longing for our homeland, writes Peter in 1 Peter 2:11. So, isn't it strange that most of God's children give little thought to their eternal destination? Heaven remains more of an incomprehensible mystery. But it need not be that way. You'll be surprised by the details provided in the Word of God. And to help, we put together a convenient resource just for you. The Understanding Heaven Passport contains forthright answers in an easy-to-read, concise, pocket-sized format. As we travel through life, our homesickness for heaven should impact our daily lives. That's precisely why God revealed truth about heaven to each one of us. To give us hope, to help us persevere, to strengthen our faith until He returns to take us home. You need to discover what awaits you. So get your copy of the Understanding Heaven Passport today.
All right. Thanks, Chuck. And we'll be happy to send you the Understanding Heaven Passport when you include a donation of any amount with your request. Let me give our contact information. If you're listening in the United States, you can call 1-800-772-8888. Online, go to insight.org. Thank you for your donation. It's your financial contribution that allows us to provide Chuck's teaching on your station and on the Internet. And when you give, be sure to request the helpful resource Chuck mentioned. It's called the Understanding Heaven Passport. This is something you can pass along to a son or daughter, perhaps a friend or neighbor who has questions about heaven. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. The free CD I mentioned earlier is not available online, but for all other resources, such as the convenient mobile app and the free devotional email from Chuck, go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. There's more teaching from Chuck Swindoll coming up tomorrow about the reinstatement of a runaway. Listen Friday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Reinstatement of a Runaway, was copyrighted in 1973, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.